No Olympics, I'm stolen native land. No 2010, no, no 2010. No Olympics, I'm stolen native land. No 2010, no, no 2010. No Olympics, I'm stolen native land. No 2010, no, no 2010. No Olympics, I'm stolen native land. No 2010, no, no 2010. This is for my people lashing out against the 2010 Olympic system, support by corporations, the degradation of the First Nations, and the theft of what's left in a racist invasion. Invading, persuading the media hype, make you see what they want, only sweetness and light. Well, the darkest of night descends on innocent lives, and the slasher chainsaw saw the land for a price. People all around the globe need to know the sour taste of the crops of the seeds they sow. A stone's throw from a gentry genocide, a blatant show of the blindness money can buy. Though many can try to live in alignment with lies, we refuse to retreat, we will not run to hide. We won't go out without a fight, our silence can't be bought. Look at the impact of the shoe swap, the fight that they fought.
No Olympics, a stolen native land. No 2010, no, no 2010. No Olympics, a stolen native land. No 2010, no, no 2010. No Olympics, a stolen native land. No 2010, no, no 2010. No Olympics, a stolen native land. No 2010, no, no 2010.
This one's dedicated to Harriet Nahani, who died when she tried to stop the blasting and bombing. They took her away for standing in the way. On the cold concrete in bare feet she lay, held her for 20 days, then released her from the cage. Those who knew it and went through it felt the rage, and shortly after pneumonia had claimed her life. The main suspect was the fact the pigs treated her trite. What right does the government have to overrule the voice of the people? No power they have when the people take the matters into their own hands. Backed by knowledge, organization, and strategy of plans. More than a trap, it's us versus them. Every time the people address the issue, police are called in. Oppress them, repress them, what freedom is that? The kind that you can take back, and by the way, you pay tax.
No Olympics, a stolen native land. No 2010, no, no 2010. No Olympics, a stolen native land. No 2010, no, no 2010. No Olympics, a stolen native land. No 2010, no, no 2010. No Olympics, a stolen native land. No 2010, no, no 2010.
The Olympic Resistance Radio is alive and here. Under anti-colonial and anti-capitalist basis, we bring you a weekly edition of updates, interviews, actualities, and local music groups. We want to be able to make this as accessible to those with or without experience. As well, we invite you every Wednesday to Spartacus Books, 684 East Hastings, Vancouver, Coast Salish Territory, at around 5 p.m., where we could collaborate, share ideas, material, and radical or anti-Olympic perspectives.
This week we will be hearing from several people in and around the context of the upcoming Torch Relay kickoff, the disruptions, and the necessary will to keep this fight up, as we are not fucking defeated.
We bring you music by Chronic Vibe, Ecoladia, and Ricky Lavalier, interviews accumulated and directly made with Darius, part of the Olympics Resistance Ontario, Mark Belmont, a local militant and anti-Olympics resistors from Vancouver, Melissa Elliott, co-founder of the Young
Uncle Honey United,
participating in the resistance at Ignitions against the 2010 Olympics in the Torch Relay, which is supposed to visit
Oswakin
and cross Six Nations Grand River territory.
To listen to us, you can check out radioforall.net under the series Olympic Resistance Radio, or be in contact through vanradcollective@hotmail.com, V-A-N-R-A-D collective@hotmail.com.
Rock the Olympics! Get off your ass and fuck shit up!
My name's Darius, part of Olympics Resistance Network Ontario. I'm here at the Victoria Anarchist Book Fair talking about resistance to the Olympics across Turtle Island, specifically in Ontario, so it's good to be here.
Can you talk about how you're organized against the Olympics in Ontario?
Very recently, this year in 2009, in March, various different groups and people converged in Waterloo to have one big Ontario-wide meeting about what we want to do and what we can do and what has been done already. We had people from across Ontario, from Ottawa, from Kingston, from Peterborough, from Belleville, from Toronto, Hamilton, Carlton, London, Guelph, Six Nations, and beyond, Stratford, Kitchener, Waterloo, obviously, and the Niagara region. And basically what we're doing is we're trying to connect with each other and see who's been doing different things and how we can each support each other in struggles and how we can make this a broader movement and create more power in terms of like organizing as one solid group. There's been many direct actions that's happened outside of ORN Ontario, just different like affinity groups doing what they're doing across Ontario for several years now. Lots of stuff in Ottawa, lots of stuff in Guelph, and also, you know, in Toronto and in London and Kitchener and all these places. What we have so far is we've had several disruptions of Olympic events. When Phil Fontaine came to do a VanOck and RBC press conference, public relations thing, that was disrupted by ORN Ontario. He successfully stopped that from happening, and that was a really, really awesome action. There was also the blockade of the CP Rail, which saw people come from various different places across Southern Ontario to meet up and do a massive direct action that blocked the rails for 3 hours, cost CP Rail several $1 million, and got on all the mainstream media, all the mainstream news stations, and got our message out about why we're opposed to the Olympics. There's also been disruptions of the Coke tour bus, different other events that have happened, of city halls that have been hosting the Olympics, like Stratford City Hall, and corporate sponsors have been repeatedly targeted in various different ways. So that's stuff that's going on in Ontario.
You can talk about the ways they was attacked.
Yeah, there's various different ways of attacking. Like, some people have gone against the corporate sponsors and attacked the corporate sponsors with like bricks or with fire or whatever. And then other people have used like banner drops and have used disruptions inside of these like corporations' facilities as their way of doing it. And then there's been lots of outreach also, just kind of broadening the awareness amongst people in Ontario. And I guess into the future we're looking at how we can disrupt the Olympic torch across Ontario and find ways to make it very hard for them when they come through Ontario, and we're working towards that, as well as the Spirit Train stuff. If the Spirit Train comes back again, there'll be other actions planned around that, and some people are gearing up, and some people are going to be coming out here, other people are going to stay in Ontario and do lots of stuff out there. So it's very active, and it's pretty awesome.
Can you talk about what means for you those actions and those relationships that you built against the Olympics, but beyond the Olympics also, and the struggles against the Olympics, but also beyond?
These relationships and networks are really important to build, regardless of if there was Olympics or not. When we have like different communities, different like anarchists and like activists coming together to organize around these issues, we can take that further. Right after the Olympics are done, we'll still have these relationships. We'll be able to like continue to attack other capitalist projects and like nationalist projects, and it's making those relationships that's really important, because without that, we're all isolated little groups doing little things in our own communities, which is important. But if we want to broaden the struggle and like come together in solidarity, we'll be able to like have much stronger networks of resistance. And I think that's what really is like ideal about this.
What is the principal link between what you are fighting against?
It's very basically like we adopted the ORN Statement of Unity. So like no Olympics on stolen native land, doing it from an anti-capitalist and also an anti-colonial perspective, and it's targeting the corporate sponsors as well as the events, and we're all coming together because we are involved in different environmental justice issues, indigenous solidarity issues, anti-capitalist like projects and like struggles, and we're trying to link those all together and start coming around with our own stronger network in Ontario.
Beyond that, what inspiring you? What you want? What are your desires?
I want to see more and more people challenging, resisting, and fighting back. I want to see stronger networks of people, like communities, like anarchist communities develop, and like a broadening of the struggle. I want to see more actions. I want to see, you know, see more actions of all types. I want to see the Olympics just totally like disrupted in so many different ways. And I want to show the world that, you know, up here in in the northern part of Turtle Island. We're holding it down. You know, we're doing something to fight, you know, fight this machine. So, you know, we actually, like, can have some kind of pride in, like, what we've been able to accomplish. So I want to see lots of disruption, and I want to see success.
If the people want to be more informed about what's going on in Ontario or elsewhere, do you have, like, contacts to give?
We haven't really developed, like, a website for ORN Ontario. We kind of just have our own listserv that we plug into. If you want to get involved with anti-Olympic stuff in Ontario, there's a couple groups that I can tell you from, like, different cities that you might want to connect with. There's Resist 2010 in Kingston. There's PGA in Ottawa. There's in London, there's Reeducation, Fanshawe Social Justice Club, the Empowerment Info Shop that you can get more information at and connect with people. There's also Common Cause, the anarchist organization in Ontario. Common Cause would be a good resource to also plug into. In Kitchener-Waterloo, AWOL is a great group to hook up with. In Stratford, contact Stratford Action for Equality, and OPERGs in different cities can also be very useful in getting information and connecting you with other people. Yeah, No One Is Illegal in Toronto was also really big on it, and also the Women's Coordinating Committee out of Toronto too, for the Chile Canada Coordinating Committee. There's lots of different groups and people that you can connect with and start working if you're in Ontario.
Crows fly over the absence of rainbows, plainclothes had you running down to the tracks. Train cemetery invariably protects you, directs you to take solace in hiding beneath the cracks. I'm at the west and I'm rigging someone else's breast, found a nest that would hold that shot forever. Weather the worst together, up and down all opiates, last words is passwords.
I've been involved with resisting the Olympics as it is happening in my hometown for the last 3 years, 2.5, 3 years. I've been very closely following the Torch Relay kickoff as it is being organized. I'm not directly involved with organizing it, but I've been following it very closely and I'm interested. I see it as very important as a tactic of smashing the spectacle of the 2010 Olympics.
Outside of a spectacle, why do you think it's important?
There's the international call out, which in a way is drawing solidarity across borders and across nations against the Olympics and their capitalist projects, no matter where they are, in capitalist projects in general.
I'm wondering, like, how do you feel that this disruption or that this solidarity will actually smash some kind of symbolic representation, or do you feel like this is merely symbolic?
They've found that there hasn't been a lot of support, like widespread support, for the Olympics across Canada. A lot of people don't even seem to realize it's happening in Canada. As you go across Canada, that often apparently happens with the Olympics wherever they are. What the Torch Relay does is that, just like in the Nazi Olympics in 1936, it brought the torch around, made it more of a spectacle, brought it through people's communities and rallied support for originally that Nazi project and now this very fascistic corporate project that we have here in Canada. And so I see resisting this particular torch relay, whether it is in Greece at the lighting of it, or in Victoria, or as it goes through Six Nations, or goes through all the other communities in Canada, as very important that they don't reach their goal of clouding everyone's perception and getting them basically behind this very destructive project.
How the attack against the symbolism of the Olympics can reach with the attacks of the material consequences of the Olympics.
There's a very material consequence of that spectacle, the way that people are so willing to go to work 9 to 5 on Olympic projects but not challenge them outside of their work, the way that people are willing to be bought off by infrastructure, by lucrative work for short periods of time, and this puts a great strain on resistance towards capitalism and colonization in general. And I see that as a very material consequence, that spectacle, the way that they get the masses behind them, has a very material effect.
Again, I reproach, like, the last question asked. Like, I wonder, as you speak about the material consequences that the Olympics have had and accelerate to have, I wonder if you could talk more on the basis of this disruption. How do you feel that this material disruption will have impacts on the future to prevent or to cause more of an uproar or more of an uprising and more of a resistance among the local communities globally and locally?
As it goes through these communities, I guess it's very up to the people in those communities to organize amongst themselves or to decide autonomously to do whatever it is that they feel is necessary, whether it is to stop the torch or to do some sort of militant action while the torch is in their community. And it provides, like, basis for very decentralized action. In North America especially, we're very focused on these convergences, and although they can make us feel powerful and although they do have maybe perhaps a strategic advantage
message, given that our numbers are very small in comparison to the population. This type of action can provide examples and spread the resistance in North America, especially beyond that sort of convergence, anti-summit type of resistance and action.
All the wasted lives trying to escape the wasted lives live. All the wasted lives trying to escape the wasted lives lived.
Beyond the attack against the Torch Valley, the disruptions, and how we can, like, attack the Torch Valley, like blockades or whatever, how do you perceive the evolution of the struggles against the Olympics?
How do I perceive it? I guess it keeps going back to the fact that the Olympics are this very spectacular event that in a very unspectacular way are destroying our communities and destroying the land and dividing us in many different ways, contributing to genocide and abuse on a whole bunch of different levels. Originally, I think people just wanted to get the word out and make sure that people didn't forget about the past anti-Olympic struggles and didn't forget that there is an apartheid in Canada and that there is genocide against the native people and that colonization still continues to go on. I think at first it was trying to get the word out, just in general, like internationally and nationally. And eventually it started stepping up to more direct anti-capitalist actions against, you know, like the Royal Bank of Canada, etc., disruptions of different VanOck corporate events. And now that we're getting up to the time of the event, you know, we're, what, like 2 weeks before the actual Torch Relay kickoff, hopefully those three aspects of the struggle we have seen so far can sort of culminate, maybe build things even further for these actual, like, large-scale events.
I guess I just wanted to know if you wanted to just expand a bit more about what this international call-out is.
I didn't write the call-out or anything. I probably found out about it just the same way that you guys did. I can say that the Turin Olympics, I mean, there were blockades, land occupations, people actually snatched the torch, people surrounded it, caused it to divert through different communities that it hadn't planned to go. It was a very successful disruption. There was a lot of anti-Olympic actions for the Turin Olympics in Italy. There was quite a bit of resistance to it in Greece as well. And I think my assumption would be that this international call-out is an attempt to reach out to those that have resisted it in the past. Also to those such as in like Chicago or Santa Cruz or wherever, other places where you have seen anti-Olympic actions outside of Canada, to let them know that people can't make it, they don't want to make it, they're for one reason or another. There's still plenty that they can do on that decentralized basis outside of Vancouver or Victoria or even Canada, to resist the Olympics and their project.
I don't know, I'd ask if there's anything else you want to add to join people together, to share any other kinds of networking.
Well, No 2010 Victoria, I think, has been doing most of the work in Victoria for the Torch Relay kickoff. They're going to have like a poverty Olympics at Centennial Square. I think their reasoning for having it at Centennial Square is that it isn't one of the free speech zones. That seems to be one of their big points of contention with the Olympics, is the whole idea of the free speech zone. Myself, I mean, I'm not too hyped up for the Poverty Olympics. I mean, we've had them here in Vancouver for a long time. I prefer a more direct form of resistance, and I don't really see that staying at Centennial Square all day is really very direct and really all that much different than putting yourself in a free speech zone. I mean, not to be too critical. I mean, I guess at least they're trying to get people out there. But later on in the day, 4:30 p.m., meeting at Centennial Square, there is going to be a zombie march that will end up at an undisclosed location, which has a lot more potential for more direct resistance. Yeah, for a more direct form of resistance against the Olympic Torch Relay.
Outside of the people living in this area, Vancouver Whistler, what do you think or what you will want to invite the people to do against the Torch Rally, against the Olympics? What kind of action can be done?
I mean, I wouldn't expect it to happen, but I'd love to see the type of resistance that we saw. I couldn't imagine the resistance to a Torch Relay going any better than it did in, or very much better than it did in Italy for the 2006 Winter Olympics. I mean, we have the potential for it as it goes through Six Nations. That's been a very hotbed of resistance in Canada for a very long time now. But as far as those that are coming to Vancouver, I guess I would just hope that the larger numbers of people that we have in the streets, the more potential there is for action, the more potential there is to unarrest our comrades when things do happen. And yeah, just to be there for our comrades, whether it is actually at, you know, in Victoria, in Vancouver, or just in solidarity wherever else on the continent or in the world that you are.
are numerous in the room of superfluous laws. Lost track of our shadows, licking the cracks off the pavement. The cost of calming our voices, but brought us embracing the facts of our placement. However shallow, we seek the hollow and swallow the callow. Room quiet, silent, someone's rapping at our chamber door. Internal riots are more violent than they've ever been before. The hollow answers nevermore. Locked the door, gestured at the bodies, begging seizures on the floor. Timmy's brought us presents, sneaking in through the opening, hoping his presence doesn't take the graves up of the ones who gave up, while placing vacancy signs on the remains of his friends' skulls. He can eventually rent out their brains to someone useful. The reason for my being in this room is that I've planned it this way, having never negotiated shades of gray. I crave manic extremes, it's why my room of loss is filled with violent scenes and silent scenes of weeping.
United is basically just a forum for youth within Six Nations to have their voice heard in matters affecting them, and it's basically just a united group of young people that want to make a difference, that want to start changing and start uniting their community, and I don't like to say community, I should say nations, one of our main focuses is getting a youth center on Six Nations, but there's so many other things that we're tackling and trying to fulfill as well. Like, for example, raising our leaders. It's within our tradition that Haudenosaunee people that we would raise people to be leaders, to be speakers, to speak out against things and stuff. And we want to start doing that again, but doing it youth to youth, making people leaders by pushing them into the moment, having them saying, "Go up there and speak about this. Let's start organizing. Let's start getting together and." Let's talk to the Mohawk workers, let's talk to the men's fair, and actually getting up there and doing it. So we're forcing each other to really start doing something about all these things we've been talking about, because we're all pretty good friends within Young Wahoo United, but we all talk about the issues going on in the community, and we decided we wanted to stop talking about it and start doing something. So that's where Young Wahoo United was born, and myself, I was one of the founders of it. One of the people that said, "Okay, well, let's go then. Let's do it then. Let's stop talking. Let's do it then." And it actually started out of high school. It started out of our native club, because our native club was really all about, "Oh, let's make dream catchers. Oh, let's do beading and stuff like that." And that was at the time when the reclamation started. And so we were like, what the hell is up with this? Our people are under attack right now, and all we're doing is beating. Like, what's going on with this? And so we started organizing, getting other students at Pauline Johnson, that was the high school, and we were like, okay, let's start educating other students about the reclamation site. And so it started like that, and then we had our own ideas, and then we started doing actions. And so it was like a ripple effect. It started growing from there, and now we're in a position where we have the responsibility and the opportunity to actually give youth a voice here. And so we're trying to do that in the best way we know possible. And that's our role here, is whatever other young people need and want in this community, or just even want to say, we have that forum for them to do that. And in a very safe environment with other young people, we try to keep it as I wouldn't say non-political, we try and keep it as traditional and open and within the principles of the Great Law, so that everyone feels safe and everyone feels welcome to come up and just start talking to us, saying that we want this done, we want that done within the community. So that's basically where we stand right now. And we're also very much about creating unity between different Ongwahoe youth movements. So that's what we're doing, and that's what we're trying to do. Right now, we are, as a youth organization or movement, whatever you want to say, we haven't officially came out against the Olympics as our group. Every single individual has, but we haven't as a group, because there's so many pressures from our community saying, like, you're not going to get funding, you're not going to get support from any of the sports organizations if you go out against the Olympics. So we've been getting, like, threatened, but not necessarily upfront threatening. It's just those little things you can tell when people start talking to you. And they'll give you, like, just little hints, like, you better not do this. You better not do this. And so what we're doing is we're hoping that we can gather a whole bunch of more youth. What we're looking for first, before before we come out officially against it, we're looking for more youth from our community so we have more backing and more foundation to officially come out against it. But what we have been doing is we've been coming out as youth, just as youth, as a youth individual, as a young person. I'm against the Olympics, and I'm against the Olympics. So that's what we've been coming out for now. But we're looking to come out officially, but we want to be as careful as possible because it is very dangerous. And myself, you know, just even with the police down here, with band counselors, every time I see, like, band counselors, I say hi, I smile, I wave, but they give me a really dirty look. And they don't want to talk to me. Like, I feel like I'm being ostracized from certain people in the community because my face and name has gone out there against the Olympics. And it really is from anyone supporting band council or anyone supporting those huge sports, I don't know what you call it, the whole sports part of the res, the whole sports thing. Everyone, like, cut from the arrows to, like, you know, downward, all those lacrosse teams, they're all for the Olympics. And so they think that us coming against it is saying we're against sports, but it's not. It's saying that, you know, we're against the negative impacts of the Olympics on our people, you know, because in our communities, if you look at our traditions, our Haudenosaunee traditions, if you look at lacrosse, one of our most famous games that we've had, lacrosse, you would not cut down 100 trees or blast up mountains to play lacrosse. If you were to go back 1,000 years ago, that whole idea would be preposterous. That'd be ridiculous. You don't blow up things. You don't destroy our mother, the earth, in order to play sports. You don't do that. You play within your environment. You play with your environment. And anything that you do have to cut down, like a tree or something like that to make the stick, you put tobacco down for that and give it respect to that because it's giving itself to you for that purpose, you know. And so we're not against that. And if anyone would talk to us about it or even learn more about our traditions, they would know that being against the negative impacts of the Olympics is not necessarily being against sports. But as our community stands, a lot of people don't know their history, a lot of people don't know their traditions, and a lot of people don't know who we are as individuals within Young Oklahoma United, so they automatically turn us, like, into a negative force in the community. And that's how we've been portrayed in the media, that's how we've been portrayed with spoken word. Like, we're, like, just delinquents. We're just young delinquents. We just want to protest anything. We're always angry. We always want to, like, we want to go out there and start yelling at people and whatever, destroying things. That's not how it is at all. When there is something that's going wrong, something that's affecting your people, you have the responsibility to stand up against it and to stand up for your rights and for the earth. That's how, as Oklahoma people, that is our responsibility and our duty to protect the earth, to do those ceremonies for the earth, to know our language, like, all of those things, those are our responsibilities. And we shouldn't, there is absolutely no excuse for putting people down for upholding those responsibilities. It's something that's new. It is something that's new to our people because for so long we've been asleep, or for so long our people have gotten used to not saying anything, to not standing up. But now, people are young people, like all these young people that are part of Young Oklahoma United, all these young people that aren't part of Young Oklahoma United are realizing that we have to do something. And so that is something that is new, and that's something that's getting people scared because it's change, and people are scared of change. But we embrace it, you know.
Has working around the Olympics and organizing around that issue done anything to affect the group's capacity or your own capacity as an organizer in the community?
It has changed a lot of things. Ever since I even started talking about the Olympics, when I got interrogated by CSIS about it, and I talked to my community about that, I went to the men's fair, I went to the joint council meeting between Confederacy Council and Band Council, and I told them what was happening and how they were interrogating me and how they're scared about what Six Nations is doing, all of a sudden people looked at me a little bit differently. And organizing with that, it feels like you're organizing against this huge monster, this huge thing, and it's, like, so powerful. They got, like, all of these huge companies, RBC, you know, Coca-Cola, all of these, like, huge corporations. They have the government for it. They have the Assembly of First Nations are for it. You know, like, it feels like everything is going their way, and nothing is going our way. And it feels like, you know, David and Goliath, right? But as organizers, that's given me personally so much strength in the way, because I feel like I'm hammered down daily for that kind of thing. And everywhere I turn, the Olympics is, and I'm like, oh my God, when is it going to stop? But that gives me strength, because it gives me strength in the way that I know that if I can do this, if I can get people to stop and think about these things in our community and to stand up and, against it, then against all those odds, there's so many things that I get out of it personally, and it makes me a hugely stronger person, a stronger organizer. Because you've got to think very strategically. You've got to think in a different way when it's against these huge things. It's no longer these small little things like me against band council or me against this little group. It's against huger things. And so you got to be very strategic and very smart. But it's given us so many opportunities to work with so many different groups that are within the same league as, like, you know, that have the same thinking as us. Like, for example, the Native Youth Movement. We have so much stronger connections as a youth group, as a Native youth group, organizing the same as them, as a Native, very Native youth group. And us saying that we're here for you, this is going on right in your territory, and we are here for you. We may be hundreds of miles away, but we are here for you, and we stand with you. We agree to everything that you're saying, and we're not going anywhere, and we're going to stand by you. Having that support is something that is, you know, something that we're not used to, but something that is so powerful. And it's just a sense I get when I talk to people from the Native Youth Movement. We have so much stronger connections because we're organizing for the same thing, for the same cause, and we're facing the same things. So even the non-Native organizations that are working against it, there's so many huge connections that we create, and we're all working together, and that is very powerful. Non-Native and Native working together, that is a huge step forward in healing between the two. And so there's a whole bunch of healing going on with the organizing of this. But as an organizer, it gives me so much strength to see all those groups doing it, seeing all of them with the same mindset as me, and all doing it together, to have it being united, you know. It's simple. Our brothers and sisters out west, our Ongohoi brothers and sisters out west, they are being damaged by the Olympics, and this is our territory. We have sovereignty in this territory. We have power over this territory, and so we need to make a statement supporting our brothers and sisters, saying we are standing with you. We're against this tragedy that's happening in your community, and we're standing strong together, basically. So why other people should do it? Other people should be against it because in Agaya-Lagoa, the great law, we're supposed to stand for a very specific set of values. And those set of values include protecting Mother Earth, having respect for Mother Earth, and having respect for all things. And by being against the Olympics, you are supporting that great law. You are acting with a good mind because you are respecting that environment. You're protecting it, and you're standing up for what you believe in, no matter what. As Six Nations, we have a huge strength that very few other communities have within Turtle Island. Everyone's looking to us for a response. How are we going to respond to what's happening in Akwesasne? How are we going to respond to what's happening here? How are we going to respond to the Olympics? If we don't stand strong, then who else will stand strong? You know, if we don't make a stand, if we don't say that if we don't have our sovereignty, you know, put out there, and if we don't agree to that, then who else will? We have that responsibility of doing that. But the issues, specific issues here that will be supported by doing this are land rights. We have land rights. We have treaties that are nation-to-nation treaties. If this torch was to come through here, that'd be an international thing. that'd be the torch, not the Canadian torch coming through this. This would be Canadian torch coming through Haudenosaunee territory. They're not wanting that. They're wanting saying this torch is coming through Canadian territory. We automatically, that's one reason. It's not coming, it shouldn't be coming through here because they're not going with the 2-0 wampum saying, can we come into your territory? Can we have this on your territory? They're not doing that. They're going to the band council asking, can we have this in your Canadian municipality? And we're not a Canadian municipality. We are a nation. And so those, even those simple things, even the simple things like, you know, the great law, like the issue of upholding the great law and knowing the great law. Knowing the great law, the great law extends in four directions. The roots of the tree of peace extend in four directions. If anyone comes up that traces those roots and asks for your help as a nation, you are required to give that help. And so those are even just a few of the issues. Not to mention Native women, like sex trafficking industry that's going on as a result of these Olympics. We have a responsibility as Algonquian women to stand with them, to stand and protect them, you know? There's so many things that this would bring out that would show how we value our community and show how we value these issues if we are to oppose it. And if we don't oppose it, we might as well say we're Canadian. We might as well say we are not Haudenosaunee. I am Canadian. Like, we are Canadian, you know? Because that's what you have to be to agree to these horrific things that are going on, you know? I don't know what else to say.
Have you ever seen any of your victims?
Victims?
Be melodramatic.
Look down there. Would you really feel any pity if one of those docks stopped moving forever? If I offered you £20,000 for every dock that stopped, would you really, old man, tell me to keep my money? Or would you calculate how many dots you could afford to spend? Free of income tax, or free of income tax. I don't think you save money.
It's like my whole life, I knew I was right. Lost in the struggle of the world powers huddled in a dark, dim room. Planning the planet's doom. Playing the puppet masters, viewing life like a cartoon. No Bugs Bunny, only bug phones. Keep a close watch on the lives they own. Made money causing sadness, addicted to the habits. Television giving, go ahead, let them have it. Reach it, can't grab it. Teachers just back it, had it. Gonna take a grab at this madness. I knew I was right, got it locked in my sight. And the freaks ain't the only things that come out at night. Yeah, the GPS or cell phones can turn them on. They own the technology and build the bombs. Own a gun factory and keep soldiers at arms. Supply the world with warfare and prepare the pawns. They watch where you sleep, they control what you eat, and they're cloning your meat. I knew I was right, they hurt us like sheep. Watch them walk down the streets, they control the TVs. I knew I was right, let you know what they choose. Keep you under their news and they're hooked on the booze. I knew I was right, they're holding the key, and they hurt us like sheep. Big brothers, little Bo Peep, I knew I was right.
Cameras and corners and government and disorders and fucking with our borders like sheep to keep us in order. And every time I make a dollar, they wanna take a quarter. I'm not cheap or a hoarder or a war supporter. Try to be there for my daughter, tell her garbage kills whales and water. It's a shame apes get slaughtered, the truth hurts. Yeah, but at least it's the truth. While they tell you lies loose, I'm really real to the youth. So pass the noose, cause religion is a spoof. Must sound kinda crazy coming from a padded booth. Against the grain, I can't complain. I never fit inside a box, that'd be insane. You say you need a way out, man, I'm feeling the same. I'm working 7 to 3:30, man, I'm feeling your pain. And all the while, I'm just a paycheck for the government's gain. And when you really need help, they let you sleep in the rain, and that's real.
They own the cops and the military clocks, control trains and docks. I knew I was right. They bring in the drugs and they blame it on thugs. Listening on the bugs, I knew I was right. They're scared of our art, cause we rip them apart and we speak from the heart. I knew I was right. They let you eat cake and they take and they take. It's like they want you to break. I knew I was right.
They can lash out,
drink and pass out. Wake up interrogated with a gun in your mouth. Said his big brother's house looks like nobody's home. He watched from underground and works on creating the clones. A restricted zone, Area 51. The eyes in the skies disguised as anyone of our own. In our homes, our houses, the house drones. In a rap race, we getting work to the bone. Said I've always known, I knew I was right. So the thought can't be bought and the truth is in sight. The wisdom listens and the knowledge speaks. So I'll speak after listening to rebels and those free. Those who opposed and closed in on the man. Believed in the power of yes I can. Not no I'm not, never knocked down. A bowing to kings, uncovered cover-ups. Said I knew I was right.
To give you the credit and to keep you in debt. Sell your cigarettes, I knew I was right. To distract with news, own the booze. You snooze, you lose, I knew I was right. To give you your ends and to act like your friends. But it's all pretend, I knew I was right. They keep us all apart, driving the comfy cars. Created AIDS and SARS, I knew I was right.
Going insane.